Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is A View from the Bridge, the official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Monday, the 4th of June, 2018. My name's Patrick Smith. Yep, it's been a couple of months, actually. We usually do one. We tend to do one a month, but this time we take a bit of an extended break and let things develop before we pull the team back together to have a chat. We've got loads to go over because it's been quite an eventful few months, not just for the Belfast Giants, but right across the Elite League. We don't really have a structure to this. We're just going to ramble ahead and see how many topics we can cover. But first of all, I'll introduce who we have in the panel as normal. Our good friend, Mr. Midgemsey, how are you?
Good evening, Patrick. I have to be honest, when you say there's been a couple of months, it doesn't feel like it. It's flowing in.
Absolutely.
But here we are, back talking about hockey in the middle of, well, start of June.
Well, you know, the Stanley Cup's still going on, mate. You know, hockey never sleeps.
Stanley Cup finished for me about...
That's very true.
What, when? About October?
October, November time. Yeah, very true. But there may be a bit of chat about the Detroit Red Wings later in the show. I know a bit of news came up regarding that, but we'll see where we get to that. Also, Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
I'm absolutely magic, Patrick and David. Good to hear from you both of you.
You keeping well?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good.
Any fun this summer? What are you up to?
Played a bit of golf. Jasmine's got me absolutely skint. no Vegas holiday this year. A couple of other things popped up, and I've got August away for Portugal, August for 10 days, so I'm looking forward to that.
You know what? That surprised me. Of all years for you not to have a Vegas holiday, this year is the year you decide not to have a Vegas holiday. This year.
Honestly, I'm sitting watching the rerun from the Saturday night's game. I'm going to stay up at night and watch it. I was talking to Mark Kane, who I go to Vegas with. And honest to God, it was 2 years ago we were there. 2 years ago today we were there. 3 years ago today we were there. But I can't believe we're not there at the minute. And to be honest, I couldn't afford it.
Phenomenal prices.
What the tickets are going for, like, so. But it would have been good to be there and experience the outside, and obviously just watching the game from the big plaza outside the arena.
It's been a hell of a series for the watch as well, but yeah, no, you surprised me. I thought you'd at least have got there, but no. And finally, we've a fourth member to the panel, and it's no stranger to A View from the Bridge, and a guy you're probably going to hear a lot more from on this show as he joins the team. He'll be doing interviews and coming on and doing whatnot. It's Mr. Joel Neal. How are you, sir?
Good evening, boys. It's nice to hear your voice. It's a bit of normality restored to hear you again.
How are you keeping, mate?
Yeah, doing good. You know, I'm usually the one that's acting hard on Twitter, going, everybody go out and have a summer. Hockey's going to be there when you get back. But it's been an exciting off-season so far. I'm sitting scrolling Twitter, like, excited. Let's build some squads. Let's do some admin.
and you're sitting there big and warm with the fan going in the window open?
I honestly, the window's open over my shoulder right now. Samson and Goliath are wheeling at me. It's a beautiful summer night in Belfast.
Fantastic. Well, listen, guys. What we're going to do is, this time last year, the Belfast Giants were kind enough to let us announce the signing of Kevin Rayne. And, we've decided that we're just going to steal their thunder and going to do one once again. I'm going to hand it over to you, Mr. Midgemsey.
Oh, thank you very much, Patrick. I suppose, well, we'll go with the theme of Kevin Rayne. We're signing a big D-man, 6'4", 210. But this guy's of British origin. He's been about all the conferences. I think he played from the Gardner for Dundee. He sort of went to Panthers in the Urquhart for a little while, obviously played in the Patton with Manchester, and now he's a Belfast Giant. And Paddy began speaking to Paul Swindlehurst, by asking him why did he swap East Cheshire for East Belfast?
I spoke to Keith over the GB period, and everything that he was saying was the right things for me. And this next season, I wanted a bit of a change. I wanted a new scenery, and I wanted a challenge playing against, well, the way that it was, playing against the conferences and stuff. But I also want to play with just a new environment, really. That's the thing. And the way that Keith was speaking to me, it really wanted to work with me and help my game. And everything that I've heard about Kiefer from other guys that I've spoken to says he wants to do that. He helps young guys. And that was the main thing. I want to build my game and I want to improve. And that's the end goal. I want to become the best player that I could possibly be. And through Kiefer and Belfast Giants, I think that's possible.
I'll come back to the GB aspect of it in a second. You've just come after, what is it, two and a bit seasons, I suppose, with the Manchester Storm, and quite a successful one last season.
Yeah, definitely. I've loved my time in Manchester, but the way that things have gone, it's time to move on. And I can't give any more credit to Manchester Storm for what they've given me over the past 2.5 seasons. I've absolutely loved playing in front of a home crowd, and especially to play for the team that I grew up playing for. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'd just like to say thank you to all them.
As you say, you started right back, you know, under 16 level, the Manchester Phoenix, playing out of that rink, and through Sheffield system, and then over to America, coming back through Swindon Wildcats. You've got that sort of development that a lot of British players is. Do you think that the British game is developing a great deal? I suppose with the qualification to the top table at GB, it does show that it is coming along.
I think so, definitely. I think there's a lot more. I think it's becoming a bigger sport in the country because of how well we're doing. And I think more kids are more determined now. And I went over to Canada through the Ontario Hockey Academy, and I know a lot of the young British kids are still doing that, and they're giving British guys the opportunity to do that. And it's showing the GB teams and being more and more successful. And even the homegrown kids, the people that stay in this country and develop, like look at Liam Kirk, for example. He's at the NHL Combine right now, and he's only ever played in this country, nowhere else, which shows that the British ice hockey is developing, and it's coming through at a young age. And even at the older age too, we're doing really well. For the GB in the past 4 years, we've gone every year with a medal.
It's interesting you say I've gone over the Ontario Hockey Academy, and then I spoke the other week with Lewis Hook, who hasn't played outside of GB. What did that Ontario Hockey Academy stuff over there, what did it give you that you don't think you would have got over here?
I think it gave me a foundation. I think it gave me a foundation to grow on, to improve, and I also think it gave me the right mindset of how hard you have to work to be successful at hockey. It's not just something that is given to you. Like when I was over there, it was waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, going to the gym, then going on the ice, doing a full day of school, then going back to the gym at night, and then doing your homework. It was a discipline thing, and because in my eyes you paid for it, I wanted to get as much out of it as possible, so I put in the work, and I think that set me up for where I am today with the effort that I put in on the ice and off the ice. I think that was the biggest thing that I took away from playing over in Canada.
You mentioned Liam Kirk's name there. As you say, he's over at the NHL Combine. How big a deal is this?
I think it's huge. I think it's one of the best things to happen to British ice hockey, for a homegrown talent to go over to the NHL Combine and be there with some of the top players in the world, and to have his name spread over there and get as much publicity as he is getting. It helps. It also helps the Elite League. It helps junior kids, because they might become more focused on young kids in the UK compared to, say, Sweden or Finland or Russia. He's helping put Britain on the map for ice hockey.
Yeah, likewise, you've got Ben O'Connor shipping off to play in the KHL. It seems that development's really coming along.
Yeah, it's huge, and Ben O'Connor shows that there's no time to give up on your dream. He went over to Kazakhstan, it didn't happen. He came back, improved over the next 4 years, and he's gone back, and now he's going into the KHL. So it shows that you should never give up on what you strive for. And he's took Ben O'Connor so many years, but he's done it. That was his end goal, and he's there. And what he was saying was that more British players can do it, and I think that's true. I think you've just got to put in the work.
let's come back to your own career, Paul. You know, you're a staple part of that GB setup now. You've done very well over the last couple of years on back-to-back promotions. Before you look forward to a possibility of playing the likes of Canada, the United States, Russia, what was it like through that tournament to qualify?
It was, it's still hard to put into words, really. It was surreal. So you look back at it, and I've watched the games over again, and you think, like, how did we do that? But if you really pay attention to it, every single guy on that team worked the hardest off for each and every person. And we stuck to the systems that we were given, and we fought for it. And it was one of those things that the ball just kept on rolling, and it just happened. And when we lost to Kazakhstan, we didn't let that get us down, and we just kept building up. Mm-hmm. And even now, thinking back at what GB have accomplished over the past 2 years, it's something you can't really describe. It's just a feeling that it's just an unbelievable feeling that you won't lose for the rest of your life.
There's going to be a real battle to get into that GB side come the next, was it April, May? Well, I suppose you've got the benefit of playing in front of one of the GB coaches week in, week out in Adam Keefe. But how much of a driver is that to be in that squad to get over to that tournament?
It's a huge drive. Like, this next season is a massive season for me and probably every British guy. Every British guy is going to be out next season to prove themselves in front of the likes of Peter Russell, Adam Keefe, and people like that, to say, I want to be in this team. I want to play against the best in the world. And that's one of the reasons why Belfast came up, because I want to be coached by somebody that wants to teach me, to mould me, and to play with players that are already on the GB side, like Colin Shields and stuff like that. They help you and things like that. And that's the main goal, is have a good season this season and improve and then make the GB team. And it's just one step at a time, really.
Well, last of all, you know, it's a couple of months before we actually start back into the season. How are you spending your summer months?
I spend my summer months playing cricket at the weekends.
Fab.
Currently working with my brother at the minute, helping out there and training, really. Nice and lazy, and then just trying to do as much in the summertime as I can, get out, and now we've still got some good weather to go out and explore, do some biking, and yeah, just basically be out the house as much as possible.
When we get on back on the ice, where you go, Blackburn filed, or where do you get back on the ice?
I'm going on the ice this Friday with the rec team in Manchester.
Uh-huh.
So I'm still in contact with some of the guys from Manchester. Obviously, the equipment guy, he's inviting me to go down, and Dallas Earhart is still over here for the summer, so he's going on as well. So it'll be good fun, and then start training properly in the next couple of weeks or so.
Fab. Well, listen, welcome to Belfast, Paul, and we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Paul Swindlehurst is your new Belfast Giants on defence, and another new British name to the squad. Obviously, we had Lewis Hook, who joined us earlier in the off season. We have the return of Stephen Murphy, Mark Garside, Colin Shields. So a real strong British core development there. I'll go straight to you, the new man on the panel, Mr. Neil. Your thoughts on Swindlehurst joining the side?
Yeah, first of all, exciting. I mean, from a Giants perspective, it's awesome to see that Kiefer's dedication to the GB squad has paid off, not only on the ice, but in terms of the opportunity to work with you guys to establish these relationships. That's a big plus for us. You know, a lot of people worried that it would maybe detract from his work in Belfast. I'm seeing it as the opposite with the landing of Sonny. That's fantastic. No doubt a blow to Manchester. It's fair to say, like, he's a hometown boy. He took pride in icing for his hometown. And I mean, maybe not in points total, but he contributed massively to their surge in the table last season. So his loss is going to be felt in Old Aldi, but in terms of coming across the Irish Sea, he played, 56 games last year, and he played fairly injury-free, coming off a massive high with his GB success. So, I mean, you're talking a quality defensive Brit, and he's going to eat up minutes for us. Those are getting harder to come by, so I couldn't be happier.
Says it was quite apparent in that interview as well, when I brought up the fact that, you know, you've got Adam Keefe, who's an assistant coach in GB. That was a big factor for him joining the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we struggled last year with so many British players down. Obviously, Garside went out, Sheds went out for a bit, Murph was out. You know, so it's always good to have the British players. And again, you know, he's a big body. Like, you know, Joel's just touched on it there, Paddy, and he'll eat up minutes. And McGar side back with a, hopefully the glass shoulders left behind him. You know, it's definitely a good start to build from the British core. And the big thing for me is the way he was talking in the interview that, you know, it's not going to be easy to get into the World Championships next year in the top division. Every single British player is going to want to be there. So all the British guys are going to be busting their balls this season coming, to be there. So for me, it's a really good plus. And obviously, Adam's done his work when he's away. And obviously, when Lewis Hook was announced there a few weeks ago, and I'm sure we'll come on to talk about him at some point during the show, you know, he obviously, unfortunately, didn't make the GB squad to go out to Budapest. Paul Swindlehurst did. But obviously, keeping a stamp on the both of them while he's been out there in his first year as a assistant coach on Great Britain.
Diddy, this signing, I'm trying to look at the wider picture now and bring it in to the squad as a whole and maybe have a chat around that. But where does Swindlehurst fit into that?
So that's a good old question, Paddy. Swinney's a funny one in that he probably has, I'm sure we'll bring more than one player in who has the ability to go both ways. You know, he can hold up a place in the back end there if he needs to chip in on, you know, on the wing, he can fit in there too. Simon has said, 6'4", 210, he's a big body. Criticism at times of him, you know, in seasons gone past that he doesn't perhaps play his size, you know, so that's something I'm sure when you come and you get coached by Adam Keith and you look at the team, the way we played and the way we built last season, you know, we had that physical blue-collar game going, so that's probably something that you know, Kiefer's going to drive to get out of him. And as Simon has made a very good point, every player that's got red, white and blue running through their veins this year is going to want to be going to the Worlds next year.
French?
You know, and you know French exactly right what there. I mean, my friend.
Oh, man, the Americans are there. That's what you mean, the Americans.
Yeah, they want to be playing against the Americans, you know, Team America. Fuck yeah. you know, those players are going to be trying extra hard. Hook will want to get in that team. You know, he's played at every age level for GB, and he'll be no different. He'll be wanting to come in. So they're showcasing themselves and, you know, what is the elite conference, the piranha pool, as I heard someone call it there not so long ago. So Swinney's going to come in there. He'll obviously, I would imagine he'll start on D, with obviously Vandy in there. Garsh going to work and a few others they announce, I'm sure, yet. And it'll be interesting to see whether he lines up there in our sort of second or third rotation or whether he will chip in and that sort of, you know, with the 14 and now with a really good Brit Corps, we'll be looking to get as close to running those four lines as you can, especially in these inter-conference games. We found last season, you know, trying to go three lines against the likes of Cardiff, who just wore you down with going four lines for 25 minutes and three lines for another 15 minutes. And then the last 10 minutes of the game, they're going, their top two lines are still fully gassed. Whereas we'd run three lines all night and we're, you know, there was times our last season we were certainly on our backsides come the last 10 minutes. So just numbers game we've built here. You know, don't know whether it'll be the last British players to be signed up or not, but, you know, it's as a core, you need that in this league.
Joe, come back to you. I just want, like I said, let's have a look at the signings as a whole, regards to the Giants, as I said at the minute. Obviously, with the initial announcements of the likes of Murphy, Garside, Darcy Murphy, who announced himself, Sheds, Johnner, Jonathan Ferland, and then we had Lewis Hook come in, Jim Vandermeer, and then the one that we heard just before Swindlehurst that we heard last week, we were chatting to Tyler Beskerwani. So far, your thoughts on any of those, or who really stands out?
Yeah, I was flapping my gums on Twitter a few days ago there just about how great of a foundation has been in the off-season. And Giants fans are kind of notoriously antsy when it comes to getting a squad together. And it's a kind of a reflection on their hunger to have a team to support and to go and challenge for the league again. But I think it's awesome so far. I couldn't be happier. That's why I said it's only June, but I find myself scrolling hockey Twitter more than often. Give me our new tender's name again, old Besko.
Beskerwani.
Beskerwani.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Besko. I mean, his numbers in Dusseldorf in the Dell are unbelievable. I understand we're going back to 2014-15 here, but the guy played 42 games with a 2.53 goals against and a 0.920 save percentage. I mean, hold that against Jackson last season in Belfast. He played two more games. His goals against was 3.38 and his save percentage was 0.895. I mean, compare and contrast the quality of the leagues there, even despite the difference in time. But I mean, if that's the form that he's capable of, if you give him a full stable season with a good organization, good coach, it's a significant upgrade at the back. We've said about Swinney and Lewis Hook coming in. Honestly, I'd sort of scribble something while you were talking there. I think this is the most excited I've been about our Brit pack in a long time. I think it's maybe the league structure, the buying habits of teams, import limits, but it feels like there are generally less quality Brits coming up versus kind of 2010, 11, whenever we began to accumulate our kind of core Brit pack that won the league in 11, 12. The combination of the two are awesome. The depth provided by the good Brits is the foundation for me of a team that's capable of winning championships. I mean, he's 21. We're adding young excitement that's been kind of maybe lacking in prior seasons. Yeah. I couldn't be happier. I don't know if I'm making that clear enough.
What would you say is Besko Rouhani? Let's have a quick just chat about him. Joel's went through some of the stats there, especially the fact how tight he was at DEL. DEL, netminder of the season. Okay, you look at the stats that he had at Edinburgh, but I think you can put an asterisk against those, can't you? Because stats in Edinburgh in a back end of the season that he himself said, you know, there was nothing really to play for. It was low risk, low responsibility. But he seems like the real deal. And it's the first starting important netminder that the Giants have had in quite a while.
I think he's an absolutely brilliant signing. He came in and played against us in February and got man of the match, which is very tough to get a man of the match on the road because I picked him.
It's the first. Don't kill the magic, sis.
No, just that game I got to pick the man of the match and I thought he was outstanding. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. They were down, at one point they were down to 4D. I'm pretty sure Trakanov got hit that night, and I'm pretty sure Tyler Plews left the ice after one period as well.
Yep.
Hitting the face with a puck, I think. He was outstanding. He's a big, big body. You know, Joel's just touched on some of the numbers that he had. Did he win the championship or win goalie of the year?
Goalie of the year in Dusseldorf.
You know, and that's the DEL. And the big thing for me, Paddy, you touched on it when you did the interview with him. You know, he wants to use Belfast as a stopgap. And if that's the case, then I'm happy enough for that. Absolutely no problem. Because if he gets that step up the DEL, then he's obviously doing a very good job in Belfast. So for me, it's a brilliant signing. I think it's brilliant that we've managed to get John Ferland back. Yeah. I thought Ferland was outstanding last year. I know he played the last 14 weeks injured. That's the type of guy he is. He's a leader. He's played at the highest level. He's such a nice guy, down to earth, and you know, he's a total team player. And for me, out of all the guys we've signed so far, I'm just really, really pleased to get John Ferland back.
Davey, we're focusing a little bit there on Besko Rouhani, and some of the guys were people on Twitter were pointing out the fact that he stated about that ambition, as it says he wants to use it as a springboard to get back into the DEL. Shows ambition, absolutely does. But some people saying, well, what if he gets called up mid season? Do we lose a top netminder?
Does that not go for any player that's having a good season?
It does. It does indeed. But then, if this guy was a DEL. This guy was a DEL player of the season only about, what, 3-4 years ago. He's looking to get back up to that. He's made that public. If the likes of Dusseldorf, where he's been, or where else was he? He was in Nuremberg. If they go short in goalies and they think, well, actually, there's one that's in Europe, is playing well, and we could bring him in as a stopgap, and they come with money in the middle of December, what then?
Two words for you, Paddy.
Mark Finney.
Stephen Murphy. We've got to remember that we've probably got the best 1-2 punch there of any goaltending duo that's going to be in this league this season. Stephen Murphy coming back of an extended rest there, and he'll testimonial season, he'll want to be doing good things as well this season. So, you know, make no mistake, it's a tandem here. Okay, Besko might take the lion's share of the starch or whatever, just with being announced as the sort of import starting goaltender, whatever way you want to put it. Stephen Murphy will have something to say about that. And if we get a number, you know, this is going to be a great season goaltending wise for us. And if the nuclear thing happens and Besko gets an offer mid-season to go to Germany, it's going to be one of those things. We've got a very, very good goaltender in Belfast already.
What about, I
mean, like, that's sorry to cut in, Paddy, but like on two sides of things, you make compromises to land a signing of that caliber. You know, on one side of the coin, he has spent time away from the game for whatever personal reasons or whatever, and on the flip side, he may be so good that he may get snapped up mid season, but it doesn't change the caliber of the signing. And I guess we can't be too sort of precious or too kind of rose tinted about the elite league, about our level of European hockey. If a signing like that comes along, you take him and you take the risks along with it. I don't see how you could ever turn that down.
Very good point. What would Darcy Murphy says he was a bit excited to come back?
Hi. I'm thinking maybe just have a little one or two too many sherbets and do you know what? They're great news. Well, I think we talked about him. No thought there at all. We did talk about him after a few weeks back in September, October time.
He wasn't doing it, was he?
Yeah, this is it. You know, is this guy going to be any good? And I remember saying to Taff, I said, what do you think of Darcy Murphy? And he says, this kid's got it. He says, hey, I'm telling you now, this kid has got it. And then within 6 weeks, he was absolutely outstanding. He was up for player of the month a couple of times. You know, he scored 30 goals last year, got Davey?
26,
you know, not far off 30.
Stop, man, go ahead.
I thought that didn't sound like David. I was like, fuck me, somebody. Here, Joel, watch it. You know what I mean?
I think it was more than 24 he got last year. Or 26, sorry.
Go on,
Maybe Davey
can clarify that.
Look, if Joel says he got 26 goals, he got 26 goals.
Well, Joel's wrong in his first night. Joel, I have to give you a wee bit of advice here on your first night. Davey's the stat man about here.
I'm not wrong.
You work away, Joel. You work away.
Prospect is wrong.
No, mate. You
26 goals and 7 in the Challenge Cup.
Fair enough.
33 goals, 25 assists. Good for 58 points. I'm a
stat man. I'm the stat man.
That's me back
in your box.
All right, that's that done. Go ahead, says you were saying.
So, before I was so rudely interrupted, I knew you had 30 goals, and that's a brilliant return for a guy coming in to play in Europe for the first year, and hopefully he can recreate that again next year and pick himself up another 33 goals. But you know, I thought he was real quality. We did doubt him earlier in the season, but I think he definitely made his 8 hour words, because all three of us had a bit of a go at him with the greatest respect back in late September, early October. So a great sign again, and glad he's back in a Belfast Giants uniform.
And one more back to you before we move on. Davey, anybody else stand out for you?
A bit like says, you know, Farley coming back, hitting machine. We're lucky, we get to track a few different stats, and you know, that old hit one that we put up every week, Simon, you know, Farley, I think, you know, fairly convincingly, certainly per game, led the way there. And whenever the chips were down, Farley was that one guy that was the leader in the team. You know, it'll be interesting to see what the letters are handed out this season. You know, Farley's got to be right up there with a shout of the big ones as well. And like to see him back. Dustin Johnner, I'm glad to see Johnner coming back here. You know, he had a terrible season wreck with injury, and he was only able to show glimpses of the talent that he had. And you know, him getting a good training camp, coming in fit for training camp, getting that under his belt and going again. But like, so far there isn't anyone there you want to put next again. You know, Colin C. Many points at Sheds last season, Joel.
I don't know, mate. Davey, how many points did you have last season?
69 mate? Points for 63 games, you know. So another good season, a fantastic season from Shields as well. So, you know, these guys are all coming in here off the backs of good season. Darcy Murphy is Darcy Dangles, as Joel likes to call him there. You know, he's coming in, these guys, and Simon's right. We sort of wouldn't give him a hard time. We said he definitely had a slow start, Simon. I don't think we're overly critical, but you know, we did say that he was slow out of the blocks, and so he was, along with a few of his teammates. And once they got going, my goodness, did he get into his stride. And you know, that I think one of the best things I've seen this season was his mum presenting him the Man of the Match performance on, was it Mother's Day?
It was, yeah.
What? You know, she came to visit, and that period where she was, my goodness, Darcy was playing lights out every single game, and, you know, good to have him back, and as I say, shouldn't every press release be done by Darcy Murphy?
Absolutely. sorry for the noise there. I spilt my punk IPA. That's not good. Anyway.
Punk IPA? What's the alcohol? Oh, no, ask Joel what the alcohol percentage is. He's the numbers man.
Oh, flip me. You've really hit a nerve there, haven't you?
Wow.
I'll tell you what. Welcome to the party.
I love you too, David. I love you.
Listen, we mentioned earlier on about the fact that, you know, Paul Swindlehurst and Lewis Hook, actually, in his interview, both highlighted the fact that Kiefer being a coach at Team GB was a factor, that the forthcoming World Championships opportunity is a big one for them coming to Belfast and wanting to put themselves in that shop window. Let's cover that, because, as you know, I was massively interested in what took place in Hungary earlier this year in Division 1 Group A of the IIHF Ice Hockey World Championships. I know that Sizz was a bit of a glory hunter and went out there for like 2 days just to see what's going on and pretend that he knew what was going on. But anyway, GB have qualified for the top table. They will be part of the 2019 IIHF World Championships. They're in Group A, where they'll face Canada, United States, Finland, Germany, the host Slovakia, Denmark, and France. But to do that, they topped the group. The group of what was GB, Italy, Kazakhstan, Hungary, Slovakia, and Slovenia, sorry, and Poland. In the competition, they opened with a 3-1 win over Slovenia before getting absolutely humped 6-1 by Kazakhstan. They recovered to beat Poland 5-3 and then beat Italy 4-3 before going into a deciding game against Hungary. And they were under the cosh, but were able to fight back, get a draw with a last-minute goal and win 3-2 in overtime. They only needed a point, and that put them into the next round. Davey, I'll start with you. How significant was this, and what did you think of the tournament?
It's pretty incredible. You know, we're in a privileged position. We talked to some of the guys, and before they went out there, you know, you're saying realistically, you know, if you get a win, it's going to be a really successful week. If you manage to, you know, get one more point or get, you know, better goal difference, whatever, than the team that finishes bottom, it's been an incredible success. And all of a sudden you win one and you win two, and then, my goodness, you could do something. You could stay up well here, and then it's like, well, maybe you could be in the medals, and then you're in the gold medal game. Anything can happen. And, you know, Murphy's, you know, what do you call Murph's, Aaron Murphy's commentary, and at the last there when they score the goal to pretty much take gold medals, it's one of those things that'll go down and, you know, in your memories of hockey for a long, long time. And just looking at the groups for next season, my goodness, you know, to say that, you know, you played against the Patrick Kanes and the, you know, the Connor McDavids and against Canada and America and some of these other great, you know, Division One sides, it's going to be a fantastic experience for everyone involved. It's kind of like back to what we're expecting at the start of the season. Can you get a win? Can you somehow scrape, you know, 1 point more than the bottom team? Can you somehow stay in the division? Can you then, you know, and then you keep building? But the positivity around GB has been flying over the last couple of years, you know, medalists over a number of years in a row now. Belfast obviously getting the gold and then going and getting a most unlikely gold, it has to be said, this season. But it does throw up a number of massive complications, because the vast, vast majority of the roster will be playing in the elite league, you know, bar Ben O'Connor's going to be away. There's still the question mark around Ben Bounds. And, you know, our season pretty much rigidly is going to finish the first week in April. World Championships don't start to what, mid-May? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's going to be a six-week layoff or four-week layoff where, you know, Team GB are going to be scratching around there. They're going to be playing, you know, more exhibition matches, one would have thought, during the off-season. But, you know, it's coming at the end of what's already sort of labelled to be probably one of the longest elite league seasons in terms of games. So there's going to be an awful lot of attrition, and players are going to be trying to get that charge back in their legs, but at the same time not try and get rust because of the gap between the end of the season. So it's going to be a very, very different and difficult competition for them next year. But my goodness, they've earned their spot amongst the world's elite, and you know, other countries are now going to step up and take notice, just with the, as I said already, with Ben O'Connor going to the KHL. Ben Bounds would be very surprised if he hasn't got an offer under his nose before the end of the summer to one of the European leagues. And, you know, they've showcased themselves, they've showcased the talents they have, and I don't think they'll be the first people leaving the Elite League for better leagues.
Fair point. Before we come to Mr. Kitchen, who, of course, was out in Hungary, Joel, I'll give you a stab at this. You know, a fantastic achievement, an unexpected one for GB to top the group with 11 points over Italy, and the two of them to go up. And to have what we have next year, which is basically Davy Phillips versus Connor McDavid.
That's exactly it. It's the unexpected element is the best thing for me. To come into the tournament this year with so much momentum, to leave it with so much more momentum, and to be heading into the top division in the world still with that momentum, but as the underdogs, you couldn't be in a better position. And going into something like that, and there's absolutely nothing expected of you. You see it over and over again. It's a sports story as old as time itself. You just never know what happens whenever underdogs come in with momentum like that. Sometimes a well-gelled team will beat a team of superstars, and that's another thing you've seen. I can't wait. I mean, I unfortunately wasn't able to get out to the GB games, unlike Superstar Kitchen over there, went out for the selfies, but I mean, it's one of those things. I think everyone's looking at the calendar now going, can I? Should I? And that's awesome for the league. I mean, we're in the shop window globally now. You know, guys are maybe if you had heard other things about our league, or looking at Great British Ice Hockey, UK Ice Hockey, and seeing it in a new light, it's just a fantastic PR piece, even above what the team have achieved.
Well, that's come to you, Mr. Kitchen. Obviously, you flew out there and you were there for the gold medal game. Give us what you recall and what your thoughts are. Can you recall much?
I was actually here, believe it or not, 5 days. I got,
was it 5 days? I thought you were out glory hunting for like three.
No. My flight was delayed, so I missed the game against Kazakhstan on the Wednesday, I think it was, and then the Thursday with day off. Friday we played Italy, and then Saturday was the big game against Hungary. And the atmosphere, I mean, I'll tell you, Paddy, you always keep on talking about the DEL games and the atmosphere there, and the way the stand by at the certain areas of the arena to stand up and just never shut their traps, basically, and yeah. A bit like Boomerang Corner. But it was unbelievable. The atmosphere was just sensational. The Hungarian fans were an absolute credit. The arena was beautiful. Everything, the way the whole IIHF put that together, the Hungarian organization, you know, I don't think they got as much recognition as they should have got, because everything about it was brilliant. The fan zone was literally 150, 200 yards away from the front door of the arena. The hotel was even closer. It was in between the fan zone and the arena. Everything about it was brilliant. And the way the guys played when they got out there, you could just, even the boys were staying in the same hotel as what we were. And you know, just the way they were, you're very relaxed about the whole thing. I was talking to the Kiefer, and I was talking to Pete Russell when we were out there, and everything was just so relaxed. You know, they just, I think it was a matter of expectations. They, you know, they came with the thought process of don't get relegated. You know, we don't want to go back down to 1B again. You know, let's get a win. Let's stay up. And that game on the Saturday night between Hungary and GB, I have absolutely no doubt that IIHF put that together as the relegation game. I've absolutely no doubt whatsoever. They thought that those two teams were going to be, one of them was going to be battling to stay up. And obviously the Hungarian fans, they were going to get a big crowd in that night to obviously put the pressure on GB. That's not the way it turned out. Hungary got off to a great start. You know, GB got back into it with a goal. And then obviously, you know, Robert Farmer scored in 15 seconds to go. It was just unbelievable. Honestly, it was probably really surreal because the guys couldn't celebrate. You know, on the bench, they were giving the high fives, but even at the final whistle, they had to go to OT, and it wasn't good enough where they just could have, you know, everybody knew it was the 5 minutes of OT, and then the shootout was a dead rubber part of the game itself. They made them play the 5 minutes, and they delayed the whole thing even on top of that for the penalty shots by bringing two Zambonis out on the ice to smooth the ice again. And so doing all that side of things and trying to make it all done right, fantastic achievement, absolutely outstanding. And I will be going to Slovakia next year.
Yeah, as you say, I think it starts from, it's 10th to the 26th of May next year. The two groups have already been decided, one in Bratislava, one in Košice, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm not too sure. How is your Slovakian?
I thought it was Košice.
Košice, is it?
There you go.
But as I said, the actual, as deemed the groups as they're decided, I think they're decided based on world rankings as well, aren't they? So Group A, Canada, United States, what group to be in? Canada, United States, Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Denmark, France, and GB. While in Group B, Russia, Sweden, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Norway, Latvia, Austria, and Italy, who were second in that qualifying group. Quite unbelievable. And as we said, I'm sure we'll talk about throughout the season when it comes, there'll be a lot of roster spots in that GB squad that a lot of people in the Elite League will be fighting for, not just amongst the British players we know, but also, of course, there are some dual nationals that have the option to play in those roster spots. Also,
Paddy, yeah, can I jump in there before
of course
you
can.
Move on? The kid that played for, I think he played in Dundee for a bit, Treviso,
yes.
The Italian. The Italians were in the fan zone up until 15 seconds to go in the game. They were all blocked. The guy, Treviso, arrived out with no shirt on. He put his suit on with no shirt on.
And I saw that.
Every GB fan was laughing their bits off at him. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. They were just sitting over in the fan zone watching the games on the big screens. It was four massive big screens in the fan zone, two indoors and two outdoors, and they were just basically sitting there watching the game, and they didn't realise that obviously until 15 seconds ago when Farmer scored that goal, and then they all had to get dressed and get their suits back on to come onto the ice to pick up their silver medals because they were obviously promoted. But Tommaso Treviso was absolutely brilliant. He was definitely a character of that tournament, and I don't know if you got that message coming across on the screens and at home after watching with Murph and Paul Healy, but he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, imagine that, you know, a localised group-based ice hockey tournament where all the fans and all go out into the fan zone and get absolutely wasted. Anyway, when is the Continental Cup, if we heard?
No idea.
Well, we look forward to that. Let's batter ahead because there's other things happening more in domestic matters. And we're going to start off by talking about the Edinburgh Capitals. Unfortunately, the Edinburgh Capitals will not be part of the Elite League this season. A bit of a debacle that took place. I know there was an agreement made with the Murrayfield Ice Rink and a franchise named after the old Murrayfield Racers, headed up by Tony Hahn's brother David, and they got the agreement to have ice time at Murrayfield this forthcoming season, taking that away from Scott Neil and the Edinburgh Capitals. As such, the Murrayfield Racers applied to be part of the Elite League in the Capitals' place. However, on the 30th of April, the Elite Ice Hockey League confirmed that it had rejected the bid by Racers Leisure Limited to join the league, stating, after careful consideration of the proposal put to the board of directors, it has been decided following a vote taken that they will not participate in the league going forward. That leaves the Elite League with 11 teams for this forthcoming season, and we'll come to the structure that they had in a minute, because the Elite League also looked for a team to replace them. Another team that came in were the Hull Pirates. The Hull Pirates, who have been playing in the NIHL, they were playing in the EPL when that was around, they're now in the NIHL, and they considered their options and decided to not take up the opportunity to take part in the Elite League this season, but have deferred it to maybe taking part in a forthcoming season. Says, I'll start with you on this. 11-team league, a bit of a debacle. The Racers didn't get accepted. They actually have, I think they also applied to be part of the NIHL, and they've been rejected there as well. So I don't know where this leaves the Edinburgh Capitals, but they're most certainly, if you pardon the pun, out in the cold.
Yeah, we talk about this more or less every season about, you know, Edinburgh always looking a bit of a hand towards the end of a season. And I remember saying it, you know, probably 10, 12 weeks ago, because of their position and obviously losing players rapidly. And then they brought in Beskarwani. And, you know, they still sort of picked up injuries, picked up, you know, lack of the points and come into Belfast and beat us. But I thought it was time up for them. It's disappointing to see them go. And it's not ideal to be playing 11 team league. And again, I still don't get what the thought process was from the management of the Murrayfield Ice Rink. You know, they've taken away a team that's guaranteeing them, you know, I don't know what to pay for their
some form of debt, some form of income.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, it's not just that, but it's the you know, when you're there, you're banned drinking, you're banned food and sweets and what have you.
Stovies.
It's that you have stovies as well. Absolutely, and it's pretty good in Murrayfield.
Yeah.
But you know, you're losing that income, and I just don't get it. You're not going to get that from SNL teams. You're not going to get that from junior teams. And they're not going to have a level of hockey in Edinburgh, which is that's the most disappointing part. You know, of EIHL standards. But, you know, I do think that Scott Neil has taken that team as far as he could. You know, when it came out at the start of last year, there was allegedly some Russian investment getting into it. That didn't look as if it worked out too well. Lost their coach, you know, coming up there, I think it was Christmas time, and brought Mike D'Orazio in for as player coach. But it's disappointing, but I'm not surprised about the whole outcome at all. Moving forward, 11 teams, 3 home, 3 away, 60 game season. It's I think they just need to do away with the conferences off that. If they get rid of the conferences and just do 11 game season, I think it'd be better off.
We'll come back to that because I want to have that a bit of a discussion. Sticking with Edinburgh, Joel. From personal experience, I know that, you know, when a bunch of fans lose their hockey team, when you look at when I was up in Newcastle, you've got maybe in Edinburgh, not a large number, but certainly a number of hardcore hockey fans who turned out week in, week out to follow a team that, you know, we're out of it by mid-November. You've got to give them praise for sticking by their club. And unfortunately now they may still have a franchise, but that franchise isn't playing anywhere.
And here's where I feel conflicted about this. I mean, first and foremost, I feel for Scott Neil. He's a hockey guy. He's poured his passion and he's poured so much money, so much of his time away from family, whatever, into that club. And so have the fans. I mean, money into a franchise that unfortunately on ice very rarely give back. But those guys, I mean, for my money in the Elite League, they are the true hockey fans. I would like to see, and knock wood, God forbid, if the Giants would ever fall on any kind of hardship or any kind of decline, how many of the kind of 4,000 or 5,000 in the arena would stick on through the thick and the thin and pay the money that they do? True hockey fans, as far as I'm concerned, even Cal's band, Under Army, is a true hockey fan, and that can go on the record. But I mean, conflicted because, and I'm sorry if this goes against popular opinion, but I hated Murrayfield. I hate going on roadies to Edinburgh. I never enjoyed it. I hate the barn. I have a beer in the barn.
Murrayfield, you're right. Edinburgh, I loved it. I always enjoyed a trip to Edinburgh, but you're absolutely right, Murrayfield.
That's the point. I mean, I want to see the league continue to grow and prosper the way it has been doing for the past 5, 6, 7 years. Stable businesses with good facilities. And that doesn't mean becoming an arena team. I'm not sitting here with the kind of relative silver spoon in my mouth saying everybody should be a 7,000 cap arena. Edinburgh as a hockey market has boundless potential, but unfortunately right now they're miles off. They need a major investor. They need a brand new building. Edinburgh's future in ice hockey can't be in Murrayfield, and that's where I'm conflicted. I genuinely feel for the fans that lost something that they so passionately loved and stuck by through the worst of the worst. But as Sid says, I just think that their timeline has run out in terms of the caps and the situation at Murrayfield.
And as Davey knows, you can't drink beers in the rink.
Davey, I don't know about that, Paddy. I'm nearly certain you and me did.
I think we got away with it a bit.
But, not allowed to.
Not allowed.
Au contraire. Paddy, be my witness. I sunk about 5 Carlsberg in that arena one night.
Yeah, I think that this story's been on a view from the bridge a few times. Still about there. We'll put up a song. But Davey, Edinburgh Gone does leave the league with 11 teams. The board meeting did bring forward the diktat that we're going to have a more level league structure, back to the normal sort of league structure we had before. 3 games at home, 3 games away. The conferences will be retained. There'll be 1 3-team conference, but they don't serve any purpose other than like 3 mini tournaments. Your thoughts? We haven't actually heard what's going to happen with the Challenge Cup yet.
Yeah, we're only speculating, really, I suppose, at this stage. And Simon has said their 60-game Elite League season. If you speculate that perhaps a Challenge Cup group games will be allowed to be doubled up this season, if not, you know, you be 10, 12 games to win the Challenge Cup, you're in the 70-plus, then you're in the, you know, you go to playoff finals, another, you know, half dozen games or five games and or four games, as it would be. And, you know, you're in the 74-game-plus season, 74, 75-game season before some of those British players are supposed to be asked to, although saying that, this, I guess the NHL starlets that'll go to the World Championships will have played an 82-game, plus maybe the odd playoff game before they go off to the World Championships. So, but it's not something that we would be regularly used to playing that, you know, that quantity of games. Add in our Continental Cup, add in CHL, yeah, depth and you know, it's going to be interesting to see what to do with the Challenge Cup. We I have always held it in a bit of prestige. I was very delighted to win it last season. I would have loved it to have been that old Challenge Cup trophy that the Northern Panthers wrecked instead of a new trophy nearly every season. But, you know, it's one of those things. I like the heritage of the sport. And, you know, old trophies for me mean more than new trophies, especially when they're for the same competition that's been played for a number of years. But that's a digression. You know, the conference system is it's a bit pointless. You know, you're going to be in a three-team conference. I think what it worked out the points or something, 16 points could win you a trophy. 8 wins over the course of a season is going to bring you a trophy. It's not really good enough. And, you know, if they're not tenable, don't have them. I don't see the point in the conference this season, to be quite honest with you, it's not actually going to be anything gainful out of it.
Is it a stubborn placeholder? The fact is that, you know, they've got the conferences, they've done the conferences now. They must be pretty sure that there's going to be a 12th team coming in, so they'll stick with the conferences, hoping that next year they'll be able to shove Hull into one of them. Possibly
just park it for a season.
Yeah, I don't see the point.
If it's gonna be able to come back next season and they can prove the business plan and they can improve the for the fans that the conference system is better than not having a conference system, then bring it back. But this year it doesn't make sense that, you know, a three team conference is almost as bad as, you know, the Gander Flyers League, you know, where there's like three teams in the league and they play each other a dozen times. And you know, it's just frustrating. We had this, do you remember the playoffs? I don't know, Paddy, must be 10 years ago. You know, 6-team league, are you having a laugh?
Yeah,
and thankfully, the league has grown arms and legs and it's got up that 12. Unfortunately, one team's dropped out. But, you know, three games home, three games away, it's just much cleaner. You play everybody the same amount of times. Well, for me, it's a much better way of winning a championship.
Simon?
Absolutely, 100% agree. I think it's absolutely pointless. You know, three home, three away, forget about the conferences, best team wins, that's it.
Let's move on, because we've got still a few things to talk about. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about something that caused a little bit of controversy when it came out. And I'm going to start with you, Joel, because I believe he's a friend of yours. Mr. Jackson Whistle has decided that Mr. Jackson Whistle has decided to depart from the Belfast Giants and has crossed the Irish Sea to South Yorkshire to join the Sheffield Steelers. Your thoughts, Mr. Neil?
Jackson, I mean, before we sort of discuss this,
before we rip into him,
a former neighbour, he's a good as I kind of flex my fingers here, let's go. No, he's a good guy. He's a former neighbour beside me in his first season here, and there's no secret that the fans and at the corner adored him and shards kind of praise and as much support as openly as they could behind him. So I mean, there's nothing personal in any of these takes and opinions. It's just hockey. That's the way it goes. But Jackson for me can make absolutely highlight reel saves, and they've been retweeted a million times. But his numbers, as we discussed earlier, his numbers are replaceable, and that's more to the point that everything in the Elite League is replaceable. You know, at this level, there's nothing that you can't replace from somewhere else, some other league. He had a bit of a tendency to melt down now and again. He would have had an off night. He would have been partial to a soft goal. And the interesting thing with where he's gone from last season for me, there's a bit of a disparity between how he was on his head, lights out against the Steelers versus the rest of the league. And Because I'm not the stat guy, I don't have the numbers to reflect that. But yeah, he seems to me like he played fantastically against the Steelers, but the rest of the league just didn't kind of show up. I understand in hockey at this level you got to make your money. I understand as well that you can have personal goals. He's a young guy, and by all accounts, you know, he maybe wants to progress into higher leagues in Europe. But bottom line for me, you can't expect to come to Belfast as this kind of feel good homecoming signing. He's spent a year rehabbing on the payroll, and then he's moved to a team that we've kind of shared a less than friendly relationship with, and it has been framed by one person or another as kind of a move upwards. You can't do that and not expect a hard time.
Let's not beat around the bush on that, Joel. It was Kevin Rehan who stated that it was climbing the ladder was the term.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, he's perfectly entitled to make whatever moves that he wants to do, but don't expect us to go, yeah, great stuff, on you go, bud. You know, it's sport. Sport is irrational and it's passionate and it's why we love it. If you don't want to be here, it's no skin off my nose.
I can tell.
It's fine.
Sorry, what?
Essentially, I can't wait for his first visit back to the arena. I mean, he's going to come in with a point to prove against a team that we have had a less than friendly relationship with. We will no doubt be out to make a point on the ice and off the ice. The Steelers rivalry, and I'm using the R word, it's hot regardless of what anybody says. I mean, I'm passionate about it because I love this club, but I absolutely love it. Bring it on.
I know that the actual term boils David McGimsey's piss, so I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it again, David. Climbing the ladder. What was that about?
First of all, Jackson was good to us here on A View from the Bridge at times. Came always fronted up for interviews, came in, did a bit of a show with us towards the end of last season, but I find it very hard to wish him anything successful in Sheffield. That's just how I feel. Joel's already said it. It's a passionate sport. We're fans of a team and of a city that we'll love. As for Kevin Rehan, if Kevin Rehan believes climbing the ladder is moving to another team within this league, should it be the Sheffield Steelers, the Cardiff Devils, or anyone else, Kevin Rehan's at the wrong club. For me, it's one of the things that really left a bad taste in my mouth around the whole thing. Being a contractor, you know, as I put a few tweets out, you know, if the Belfast Giants, you know, colours is just a uniform to you, if it's a work uniform, you're at the wrong club. It's more than a club. This club is more than a club. And, well, it is to me anyway. You know, that's just how I feel about it. And exactly. If somebody feels that they have a move within this league that is to a better club, with a better chance of winning, I feel they're in the wrong colours, and that I wouldn't want them representing me or my city.
Jackson obviously joins Sheffield Steelers with his brother Brandon, who comes in from, I think, his junior A level, which is a bit of a jump. Obviously, with the likes of two players that we'll talk about in a second, and Liam Kirk and Cole Shudra, they came in at apprenticeships, and maybe Sheffield see this as another project a bit like that. However, coming back to you, says on the Jackson whistle thing, we spoke about this, like this was going around playoffs, this was going around quite a bit that Jackson could be making this move to Sheffield, and from the statements that are made, it sounds like the deal was done before the end of the season. However, I will put forward that I could probably count on one hand the amount of players that have left Belfast within the league and actually done well.
Well, I'll just go back and touch on your comment about that. You know, a lot of people talking about the deal being done at playoff weekend. I honestly think that Sheffield made the approach in February, if not earlier, and that is absolutely bang out of the order. It doesn't surprise me from that club, absolutely not. You know, there's like a gentleman's agreement, if you can call it that, throughout the league, that nobody approaches anybody, you know, during the season now, and unless they're approached by the owner asking, are they interested in anybody? But again, for Jackson, yeah, okay, you know, he helped us win a trophy this year. Beyond that, nice kid, couldn't give a toss about him now. He's moved across the dark side. That's the way it goes, and I hope we absolutely hammer him. And see if he's out of a job by October, so what? I don't care. If he doesn't want to be in Belfast and he's looking at taxi to the airport, it'll be a phone on the door. And the same goes for Kevin Rehan. Davey's 100% right. What Kevin Rehan said, and is Kevin Rehan back next year? I have no idea. You see, if he is, I'm going to be getting him a royal ball when I see him in August. Because you don't say that against our club. It is not a step up. Moving to Sheffield from Belfast is definitely not a step up.
I agree. I think it was a misjudged comment by Rayner. I think that, you know, and the whole idea, like you said, Davey, about we're our contractors. That may be the case. I'm a contractor myself, for goodness sake. But you still, you know, but that may be the case. But okay, there is no loyalty. Let's say loyalty in sport, be it in football or be it in hockey, is a very rare thing. But comments
as fans, that's what we want. We want to believe in the brand. We want to believe in the club. We want to believe that these guys are coming from North America to represent us, because we're not good enough to be out there. They come and they put our badge of our city on their chest, and they go out and do things on the ice that we can't do. And we want to believe. We want to believe in the story and the fantasy of it, that they're doing it for us. They're doing it for pound notes. Let's not be, you know, we're not naive enough to think, but that's not what you want to believe. And when players turn around and put it in black and white and say, you know what, if I got an extra £5, as we know there's people around this league have gone for contracts for an extra £5 a week, you know, it just grates me. And Simon, I love you. that speech there, mate, was just what I wanted to hear.
I'm not even joking. While you were doing it, I was fist pumping with a highlighter in my hand, and it has exploded up my wall. I'm in so much trouble.
Hey, man, hold on a second. I'm sorry. You were what? And what?
I was silently celebrating Sizz's hot take, and a highlighter has exploded all over my room. Everything is pink, but it's okay. It's fine. Carry on.
I'm not even editing that. I'm leaving that for people to take their own to. You were fist pumping and something exploded up your wall. I'm highlighting. Oh, sorry. Let's move on from that. Thank you, Joel. Welcome to the show. You fit it in pretty nicely.
But here, just to go back on the what Simon was saying, and the possibility of an approach in February time, late January, February, whatever. Numbers would, you know, I'll let Joel run through the numbers, obviously, but, you know, the numbers that I have in front of me would sort of dictate that there was a massive tail off, as we know, in January, whenever we qualified for the Challenge Cup final. Our season sort of, that's when we nosedived. We really did. And, you know, you're looking down Jackson's number here, is at 786s and 810s and 840s and 800s. You know, these were his numbers, you know, the last five games, 880. Those aren't going to win you playoffs. Those aren't going to win you championships. And, you know, unfortunately, our season took a bit of a nosedive around that time. And, you know, you can add two and two together and sometimes get five, but sometimes you get the right answer too.
Well, it's funny because Paul Thompson did say that they were going, obviously this is when we started to put two and two together, I suppose, at that time. But Paul Thompson did say that they were going to go down a different route in goaltending when they let go of Moose. And obviously he was saying, you know, that obviously was pointing towards a British starting netminder. Sheffield have had quite a few lights out netminders in their time. We're talking about, you know, going all the way back to O'Neill, Lehman, and then more recently the likes of Doyle and Moose. You know, the top goalies. Is Jackson Whistle that, Davey?
Jackson Whistle. Sorry, Pat, I mean the nice cube goes aside.
You get crunching. Is Jackson Whistle that, Sis? No, go on, Davey.
You had Mustakos who came in and they called him Mr. 920.
Yeah.
Means you've got to save 92 out of every 100 shots that you face. Jackson Whistle is under massive pressure at what is, you know, Bob Westerdale, Dave Sims and all are going to be in the paper every week writing about him. If Jackson Whistle isn't saving, you know, 93 out of every 100 shot faced, he's going to be out of a job at Christmas. He'll be down by the time Panthers, you know, title charge is over. And he'll be away back on the plane to North America. And unfortunately for him, he's taken jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. If you think it's tough in Belfast, if you think you're under scrutiny and you think you've got a fan base that's up in your kitchen every day of the week, wait till you're in Sheffield.
Speaking of being up in your kitchen.
They live their life in the newspaper. Over here, you get shielded a bit. The club looks after you. You get an arm around you when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
Over there, you don't. Over there, you're... See you, mate.
I think that's the major point, isn't it, Sis? It's the fact that there are no second chances when it comes to Sheffield. They're absolutely ruthless. And the question is, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Paul Thompson with this decision as well.
Like, again, I pointed out in the first part of the question, see if you don't want to play for our club.
no. 56 minutes. That's like, yeah.
That is it. If you don't want to be here, See you later. There'll be a phone cab sitting at the door for you to take you to the airport to put you in your bags. It's on your way. If he comes back again, if he holds his hands up and comes back again, would you take him back? Let me tell you something. You're going to have to, especially if Kevin Reigns comes down those lines and he does come back again, I am going to give him a fuck in his life. But if Jackson, again, when he was here, he's a good kid. Lovely fella. As Davey's already pointed out, you know, he'd never refused an interview. He came on the show one night, gave us his time, and he was excellent on that show. But as I say, he's moved over. He's moved in his thought process upwards, and I hope we hammer the life. I hope everybody hammers the life out of him. He ends up, you know, basically at 0.7% or save percentage. I hope he gets hammered every single night. I hate them.
It's really annoying.
Give me Darcy Arthur Guinness dangles the king of stouts over anyone who wants to call themselves a contractor for my club.
I do. What I really hate it when Sis sits on the fence. It really. Drives me up the wall.
The size of my ass. You should be a big fence. It's going to be able to hold that. Just get into them.
Okay, let's stick with the idea of pound notes and contractors and the whatnot. We're talking about another Sheffield Steelers player, or is it a Sheffield Steelers player? Cole Shudra, who was part of the whole, you know, apprenticeship brought with Liam Kirk, a guy we'll talk about in a short while, but has signed a 2-year deal with the Sheffield Steelers. However, he is now on loan to the Milton Keynes Lightning. Now, this throws up a lot of questions for me. Is this the right thing to do? I don't agree. I've put this on Twitter. I don't agree with loan systems in any sport. I don't like it in the Premier League. I don't like it in any sport because you're basically paying for a player in another club. If you go back to the days of Lukaku when he played for Everton, well, with Chelsea fighting for the league, if Lukaku scored a goal against Manchester United for Everton to win the game and took 3 points, he wouldn't be having that game against Chelsea. So therefore, you've got a player in another team that you're paying for, which is an advantage to you. When you come to limited roster sports, such as the Elite League, you're opening a massive can of worms here. Cole Shudra is going into the Milton Keynes Lightning as a Sheffield Steelers player. Make no bones about it. They must be paying part of his wage being in there, because otherwise it's not a loan deal. Why would MK agree to that if they had to pay 100% of his wage but not have a 100% contract with him? So therefore, Sheffield Steelers have a level of ownership of Cole Shudra and will be playing for the Milton Keynes Lightning as a Sheffield Steelers player. We don't know the details as to whether he'll be able to play back against the Sheffield Steelers, but even if he is, there's a level of a conflict of interest there because he's a Sheffield Steelers player. Likewise, and I'm having a bit of a rant myself about this before I put it to you boys, but likewise, the door is now open. So why can't let's talk about a team who also have a lot of money in the Nottingham Panthers. Can they buy three Brits that are playing for, who will end up being loaned out to, say, Fife, or loaned out to, say, Brayhead as their sister club, who will be able to play for Brayhead as Nottingham Panthers players on loan, but not be able to play back against the Nottingham Panthers and therefore a hamstrung, giving the Panthers an easy run against one of their opposition? Says it doesn't sit well with me.
I've gathered it. I don't really agree with myself, Paddy. I think it's actually, has it been mentioned that he's not allowed to play against his parent club?
No, it hasn't been mentioned, but why? Even if he was able to play against his parents' club, is there not a conflict of interest there anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is. I mean, we haven't had a thought process. There definitely is. But, I mean, the likes of, you go through the Premier League in football, they loan players out all the time. Yes, some of them end up in the same league as themselves, but the likelihood is they're not allowed to play against their parent club. Now, what happens if Milton Keynes hosts Sheffield and Cole Shudra is on a breakaway with 30 seconds to go and has a chance to basically score a goal for Milton Keynes against Sheffield for the game winner? What's he going to do?
The professional in him should score the goal, but if he doesn't score the goal, then all these question marks start flying about.
Well, this is it, and that's the point. That's that I don't really believe. But I'm all for developing players in the league. Absolutely, you know. Look at Edinburgh. You know, Edinburgh have developed more British players, as far as I'm concerned, than anybody over the years. I think that's 8 or 9 this season alone. under 21 that played for the team. And, you know, for this kid, Cole Shudra, he got ice time this year for Sheffield Steelers when they were up in games. And to be honest, he played against us, and I thought the kid did okay. I think if he does go to, if he is going to Milton Keynes, and I think he'll get a lot more ice time there, or a chance a lot more ice time there than what he will at Sheffield, and I'm sure that's the thought process behind it. However, it just doesn't feel right. If he's going to be loaned out by Sheffield, in my opinion, it should be to a lower league in this country. So he should be going down to NIHL, like Swindon or Peterborough or Hull or whatever it may be.
Or France or Italy, or, you know, load them internationally if that's the case. Get development at a decent level league somewhere else where they're going to pay 50% of the wage, but you're still on a two-year deal.
Again, Paddy, you definitely put more thought on this, and I really don't care. I don't think it's right, I'll give you that. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, Sheffield, I just don't like them.
Fair enough. The development aspect, Joel, has been one that's been thrown about. The fact that, okay, part of it also doesn't sit right with me because it's quite... disrespectful. They're basically saying we're a better team. Probably true as well, obviously, but so we're a better team. We're a higher team. We won't be able to give this guy the ice time that he probably needs to develop. Milton Keynes could do him. He's a good enough player to be in one of their times. He'll get more ice time there. Is development the real reason for this to take place, or should he just have signed for Milton Keynes?
No, I mean, it's as you said, that this one for me, I don't think needs too much kind of, discussion or too much analysis. The long and the short of it is that we are in a small pond in the elite league. There are muddied waters with ownership. There are muddied waters within clubs, between the running of the league. You just can't do it at this scale. It just can't happen. I think you said that it blurs the lines, muddies the waters. That's the long and the short of it for me. It just shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, it's a funny one, but stick with that, and we're going to stick with the Sheffield Steelers, Sis. I know that you'll be delighted with that, but let's have a talk about one of their, well, I suppose, former players in Liam Kirk, out of the NHL Combine, doing pretty well. What an opportunity.
I don't mind talking about this, because as far as I'm concerned, he's the next Sheffield Steeler. But I think what this kid is doing, I've been keeping an eye on it on social media, and, you know, looking at comments coming out of different outlets in North America. He certainly looks like he's getting himself every chance. I've seen him play this year on numerous occasions, and I think the kid's got it. Like, I really do think he's the best prospect that's come out of the UK potentially since Colin Shields, come back that far, you know. And yeah, I'm literally just sitting watching NHL TV here right now, and or NHL Network, whatever you call it, and some of the things they've been doing at the Combine, and I just noticed that he was speaking to 10 different teams, and again, he's giving himself the option, he's giving himself chances, and I don't think you'll see him back in the UK anytime soon.
No.
I do think he's got a real chance to do it, and I wish him all the best. A kid at that age, I mean, he's a big lad. I didn't realise he was so tall. He's 6'2". Yeah. He'll certainly need to put on a bit of weight and you know, muscle mass and what have you, and he's only 18 years of age, and, you know, looking through, you know, I was watching social media and the people saying about how well the Steelers have developed and blah, blah, blah. What a load of bollocks. You know, we've talked about it before, about the Elite League not being a development league. It's not. It's absolutely not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you play with better players, you get better. That's a no-brainer. You look at the coaches that he's had down the years. I'm looking at his Elite Profile page here now. The Shimmers, Steelhawks, Spartans, Steel Dogs.
Sheffield system, not the Sheffield Steelers.
Absolutely, and that's exactly the point I'm making. The people that have helped in his development, obviously, you know, his parents don't get, hockey parents themselves don't get the praise that they should do. They drove him all over the country to Wellards, participating for the Sheffield teams coming up through the age groups, or Wellards going for England or the Midlands teams or whatever it may be. You know, they play a massive, massive part in this, but his coaches that he's had from the age of 9, 10, 11, up to 16, they're the ones who have basically developed him. Getting to the big league, playing the EIHL, getting out there and playing, you know, skating with top, top players 7 days a week, that's what makes you better, absolutely. But it's certainly not the Sheffield Steelers organisation that made him, put him into the player that he is today. He's done all that well before he played for the Sheffield Steelers. But I wish him the best of luck. I hope he does it. I hope he gets drafted lowly. I hope he gets, taken out there. Sorry, I hope he gets drafted high. I hope he gets a chance to play in North America, and I hope he gets a chance to play in the NHL. I think it's an absolutely amazing story, and wish the best of luck to him.
Davey, there'd be a lot of people throwing things out about Liam Kirk over the last while. You look at Bob Westerdale, ran a story the other day about how he was in talks with the Detroit Red Wings and the likes. I think there needs to be a little bit of temperance in this. People need to calm themselves down initially, because when it comes to this NHL combine, this is a step on the ladder. You know, he could be drafted, he could be going straight in. He is an excellent player. He could be going straight into an NHL team. That's highly unlikely. It's more than likely he'll be put in an affiliate and he'll have to work his way up.
Yeah, likely to go major junior. I think one advantage that Liam has, and I would echo what Simon says there, you know, we wish him the very best. Horrible club he's came from, but great great opportunity for the fella, and I really hope he makes a real good fist of it and does really well, gets picked up in the draft and goes on to really good things. It can only be good for British hockey, and that's all what we all love, Patrick, at the end of the day, you know. So, The advantage he has is that he's been playing men's hockey already. Now, saying that, when you see some of the guys the size of these NCAA guys that come in here in November, you know, we're talking about grown men, but essentially he's playing, you know, in pro hockey, where these guys have maybe been coming through juniors or college, and it's a different system, and it is a big, big jump. And you're talking about Brandon Whistle coming over here. That's just an enormous jump from where he's playing to even contemplate having a start in the IHL. You know, I think Brandon will see very, very little ice time there in Sheffield this season, but, you know, more part of his elbow for taking the opportunity to come over as well. But as for Liam Kirk, just to echo what everybody else has said there, you know, you can wish him nothing but success. And if he ends up in the Wings, as we know, in the Wings organization, you know, you can disappear down to Grand Rapids there and you can go to Toledo and stuff, and you never see the big team. You know, the overripened players in Detroit, it's been a criticism, I suppose, of Ken Holland's era, that, you know, unless you're, you know, some players aren't getting into a look a bit more now that, you know, the big days are behind us for a while. You know, there's more young guys getting an opportunity, but certainly over the last 10 years in Detroit, you got over-ripened in likes of Grand Rapids, and yeah, you know, and that's a frustration. But for Kirk, you know, he's going to end up, certainly, I would think, going in one of the late rounds here, and he's going to have that on his CV forever, and congratulations to him.
It's a little bit, Joel, of a purple patch for GB hockey and GB players at the minute. You've got Kirk at the NHL Combine. You've got Team GB make it to the top table when it comes to the IIHF World Championships. And now Ben O'Connor as well, being in the KHL.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of referenced it earlier. It's that accumulation of things that has indirectly benefited the Elite League and the kind of perception internationally of UK hockey massively, and that's something that we'll all benefit from. You know, there are guys who are maybe weighing up their options and looking towards us now and seeing it in a brand new light that they maybe didn't before. It's just the accumulation of all of those factors is awesome for everybody. I mean, just to echo what you guys are saying, it's hard to pick apart Liam Kirk's progress. It's hard to wish him anything but the very best. The thing that has kind of sat with me, I guess, is what one of you said just a couple of minutes ago. There's a tendency, because it looks fantastic, you know, he's been invited to the combine, they're talking about the NHL draft, they're talking about him speaking to major clubs. It's probably a good idea to keep our expectations on a level playing field. I mean, the number of guys that are drafted into the system every year, they're not filling empty spaces, you know, from the NHL to the AHL to the coast. Rosters are full, the free agency market's absolutely huge, but it's not, like, I mean, it may not be an automatic door to top tier success, but the potential to go on and have a great career internationally and gain valuable experience in North America is awesome. And we can only hope that sooner or later, after he's had a great career, he comes back and plies his trade here.
Davey, is the departure of Kirk and O'Connor a loss to the league, an opportunity for the league, or both?
Oh,
because they're two top talents within the Elite League that are obviously been picked up and are probably in Kirk's likelihood. And we're talking about, and as you mentioned, maybe Bounds as well.
It's a difficult. It's a two-edged sword, isn't it? You want that. You want these GB players that have performed so well at international level to get the opportunity in bigger leagues and, you know, leagues of a higher standard. And then on the flip side, lad, you say, well, if all these British players take off, who's going to take their place? You know, because at the same time, where the import level is where the import level is, you need a certain amount of Brits to make your roster up, especially as we try to push this league towards a four-line league. And, you know, if all of a sudden you lose, you know, if you're saying O'Connor's gone, you're saying Liam Kirk's gone this season, and potentially Ben Byrnes and maybe another, say. So there's four Brits, and is there four from the NIHL can step in and play the kind of ice time, put up the kind of points, you know, Ben O'Connor was putting up, make the kind of saves, you know, Ben Byrnes, or have the potential of a Liam Kirk, of a Shudra, or of any of these young guys coming through? I must admit, I don't really pay enough attention to the sort of underage British players that are coming through to say what is the next level, you know, is the same sort of golden generation that they have, and they've proven themselves to be that golden generation now, two gold medals on the trot. And, you know, it was shouted about for a long time that this was the generation of real high talent British players. And, you know, is there the next level coming up underneath them? Because really what should have happened with this great gold medal success is that translates down the ladder, because young people, but it's about getting publicity, it's about getting young people involved in what is a very expensive sport, and what is a sport that is still, you know, late night at the ice bowl at 11 o'clock to get a bit of ice time, because there's people skating around at 7 o'clock with the Blue Bombers on there. You know, it's difficult to find the ice time for kids, and until certainly Belfast, it's so important that we get this second ice pad to build a younger generation of hockey players coming through Northern Ireland as well.
Agreed. Says just finally on this topic of the fact is, you know, Kirk at the NHL, you know, O'Connor going to the KHL, GB at the top table. It's not just an opportunity in regards to what's on ice, and as Davey said, with regards to development, exposure-wise for the league, and the hashtag best kept secret. You know, that aspect of it can't continue. Surely we must have been an opportunity now to make this sport much more popular within the UK.
There hasn't been a better time in GB hockey in my time than to get out there and get yourself a major sponsor. There hasn't. Now, where we are sitting right now for the league, the IHL, you know, they don't really work in tandem with Ice Hockey UK, which is obviously the guys that run GB. I know there's been, you know, disagreements. I know there's been challenges throughout the year. And obviously, you know, we talked earlier in the show about you know, the guys that finished the league in mid, sorry, about the 10th of April, the two teams that go to the playoff final in Nottingham, then they've got 5.5 weeks, or possibly 5 weeks, to get to the first game of the World Championships. Now, if the IHL had any sense, they would knock 2-3 weeks off the season at the start and delay it, so they can basically give GB every chance to do better at the World Championships. But the IHL bosses don't really care. That they're just thinking about their own brand. I totally understand that. Absolutely 100% understand that. But now is the best time that they can get out there. But the exposure that Team GB have given over the last months, especially, you know, coming back from Budapest. You know, they're on BBC, they're on Sky Sports, they're on the radio on BBC as well. And obviously all that exposure definitely helps. You have a product there that's not getting regular exposure on TV. It's had the opportunity. You know, yes, we do webcasts. They're all good and all great crack, and I absolutely love it. But it should be given the chance now. You know, we've talked to a friend of the show, and Aaron Murphy, over the years, and you know, he does a great job for Free Sports and Premier Sports. But now's the time to get in there and get yourself a TD deal. Now's the time to get in and get yourself a major sponsor for the league itself. There's not going to be a better time in the next 10 years to do this. There's not, you know, the likelihood is, with all, you know, I wish GB all the best and luck in the world in trying to stay in that pool next season. But that's going to be the hardest thing that they've ever had to do. And if they get knocked down, then they're going to have to work twice as hard to get back up again, because teams are going to realise now that GB aren't a walkover. They're not just a shoe-in to be relegated from 1A to 1B anymore. So they need to get their finger out. They need to get a company of people who know the brand and know what they're talking about to go out and hit major, major, major companies, major brands to come in and make the best opportunity that they can possibly do right now, because if they don't, they're going to regret it.
What's the likelihood?
Probably zero. Again, they're not. They need to be working with Team GB here. I don't know if they are. I really.
I agree with you. I think the opportunity is there. The opportunity is as great as it's ever been. It's great as it's been since, what was it, the early 90s when we were last at this level, or European or Olympic qualifiers. As high a profile as it's ever been, and we're talking about a time when it was, when ice hockey was on Grandstand. We're talking about a time when ice hockey then went on to be on Sky Sports. And, you know, you'd have regular games when you were packing out the 9X arena with okay, maybe the ISL isn't a good example for that, but it's still ice hockey at a higher profile. I still get people today who, when I talk about how I'm into hockey, ask me about it, whether the Manchester Storm are still around, and I say yes, they are, and they play in Altrincham. You know, they're quite surprised at hockey. Okay, maybe not as at the level that it was when they watched it then, but they're surprised that a top level or a top league of hockey still exists in this area where I live right now. You know, and credit to the Storm, they have actually, they do what they do, and they get in the crowds they have, but hockey as itself has been, profile of it has been on the wane since the days that Sky basically let it go, and the days the ISL basically imploded. We now have been building up and building up. The domestic competition that is on the ice week in, week out is as good as it's ever been. Well, okay, as good as it's ever been in the Elite League era. We have some fantastic players there, which has now been proven with the likes of O'Connor going to the KHL, with the likes of Liam Kirk at the NHL Combine, with the likes of Team GB going up against Canada, United States, Germany in the next World Championship. So now you have a decision to be made by the board of the Elite League, by the board of Ice Hockey UK. Where does this sport go next? Where do we do, how do we develop the profile? Because you've got an opportunity there to take it to the BBC, to take it to ITV, I saw rugby on Channel 4 the other night. You know what I mean? Channel 4 looking for sports. Put it on free sports with Aaron Murphy. You know, you've got the opportunity there of a channel that shows the NHL, it shows KHL, it shows the Swedish Hockey League. There's a free-to-air channel that Neil Black has been screaming about. He wants it to be on free-to-air terrestrial. They had a nightmare. They had an absolute disaster with Front Runner. It didn't work. It was getting outshone by indoor league and poker. You know, that wasn't the actual platform for it on that channel. You have a channel there that's more or less dedicated to hockey during the hockey season. Put it on there and let's work from that, surely.
I mean, you were talking about, I think it was either you or that guy that used to support Sheffield, the baldy one from Birmingham.
Don't know.
I can't remember his name. Yeah. I was one of the two that were saying about British basketball and the exposure that they're getting. And with the greatest respect, I mean, I think it's the worst sport in the world. I've zero interest. Hockey's my sport, and it just, they don't get the exposure that they deserve. There's massive, massive international companies coming into Northern Ireland, just Northern Ireland alone. And, you know, you're not including London. I know they're talking about KHL hitting London in a couple of years. We managed to bring on that sponsor for the playoffs. I can't remember their name. What do you call them?
Predictor Bet.
Aye, it turned out well. But, you know, you've got the companies like that coming on. I have no idea how much money to put into it. From a perspective of Phonacab, and I'm not throwing the name in there just to get the exposure because, you know, we sponsor quite a lot anyway. But I know what we spend on sponsorship with the Belfast Giants, with local Irish League football teams, with the Ulster rugby team. And I know what sort of money it takes to go out and get the exposure on those brands, on those different teams. The amount of money that we spend is pittance compared to, you know, some of the multinational companies that are available on the mainland over in England, London, massive, massive businesses that sponsor all these different Premier League clubs and you know, the rugby league. There's all these different sports available to invest in. But we've already said, they're not going to have a better time than right now. Now's the time to get out, to get somebody who knows what they're doing involved in it. You know, if it needs to go out there and cost them 50 or 60 grand to look for somebody, to even pay them on a commission basis, because it's vital that they get a multinational brand to invest in this sport right now. Vital. Because if they don't, it's going to be knocked back 10 years.
Yep. I brought this up before. I just with the fact that there's a weekend or a game here in Manchester in a couple of weeks at the Manchester Arena that will be live on Sky Sports, and by all accounts it's nearly sold out. Netball.
Unbelievable.
Netball will be live on Sky Sports. The Manchester Arena is nearly sold out. It's the Wasps against the Manchester Thunder, and apparently it's going great guns, and that'll be live on Sky. So you can
just to look at like the English netball team doing really well at the Commonwealth Games. You know,
yes,
they're building. Someone with a bit of insight is building off the back of success. Now, if success isn't back to back gold medals and playing in the highest level possible in hockey terms, you're playing against Canada, you know, Team USA, you're playing against, you know, Sweden on the other side of the draw, the Russians, all the top teams in the world. We now sit in that bracket along with them, the top 10 teams in the world. If someone isn't taking that bull by the horns and saying, this is our opportunity, see, instead of Simsy coming on going, it's the best bloody kept secret again next season, don't make it a secret anymore. Somebody has to have the foresight to work with IHUK, to work with the EIHL, come together and make this a sport that we can sell on TV, because it's there. Aaron Murphy will sell it for you.
You're talking about that netball thing that's happening in Manchester, Paddy. And the reason that you're talking about, I've seen it in the paper the other day. It's sponsored by Vitality. They've got a national.
They do.
And, you know, Vitality sponsors the Vitality Stadium down in Bournemouth. Get in contact with them. What's the worst that you can get if you go in and ask a company for money? What's the worst that can happen? They can say no. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the worst deal you're going to get. If you don't ask, you're never going to find out. And you need to get in there right now. Somebody needs to get their finger out and get down there. And whether it's led by Tony Smith or whether it's led by Neil Black, whoever it is, forget about your brand as in the Nottingham Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers. Get out there and do it for the league, because that's the most important thing. And with not having a person in position who, without an interest in any of the other clubs, without them not pushing the league forward, that's where we're down. Because Sheffield will be interested in getting for Sheffield. Neil Black will be interested in getting for them, for Panthers. Same as Todd at Cardiff, Steve at Belfast Giants. That's what they're interested in. They're interested in national projects and what have you. It's about getting the finger out or getting an amount of money available for a professional to come in who knows what he's doing or she's doing, and going out there and getting these brands to invest in this sport.
I'll give the final word on this topic to you, Mr. Neil.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of sat back and just listened here. I mean, the old masters are putting on a clinic here. Like, there's really nothing more to add there. That's the long and the short of it. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. The one thing that the United Kingdom's ice hockey scene needs is, it's that old business cliche, it's a joined up approach. They all need to work together to further the common good. And my only other question would be, Simon, do you know a good commercial director of NHL?
All depends what money's available, mate.
No, really not for that.
Listen, players are after the money. If they're after the money, then the commercial directors are after it too. And if the money is made available, then, you know, I'm sure somebody will pop up.
We never saw that commercial director appear, despite the fact that they put it out there. But I guess that was the crux of it. Right, one more thing to do, Davey. I'm going to put this to you, Laura Small. What an achievement!
Ah, Smallsy. We talk about her. We wax lyrical. Is it too early to start dinging? You know, about the work that Smallsy does around our own club with the kids that she's looked after over the years, brings them on kids that are a bit more unfortunate than perhaps others, but. With their attitude and with their, you know, the way they get on, they bring light into all our lives. And Smallsy coordinates all that, and she gets really involved. And, you know, as Simon said, she's not too proud of those ears of hers, and she liked to keep them covered with that big long hair. And watching the video that Neil done there of her shaving it off and being able to donate that hair to another little princess, you know, Laura's our princess, but to be able to deliver that to her to another princess and raise an absolute shit. The stat man will tell us exactly how many pounds and pence she raised, no doubt, but you know,
12,600
pounds. Is that any pence or anything? Or are you okay with that?
As far as I'm aware, I'm a numbers guy. I think it was rounded up, you know.
Okay, right. And, you know, but we love Smallsy, and she'll be doing something else this season. She'll have new kids come along. Every month when we hand out that Player of the Month trophy, Smallsy has somebody new to you know, deliver right on the ice for us. And she's a credit to the organisation. She's a credit to, you know, the Small family, and she, you know, that name Gillespie will always ring round our arena when Laura Small has anything to do with this club.
I'll throw it up to the other two gents. Anything to add on that?
I really, go ahead, Sid.
Go ahead, Joel.
Really, nothing more that can be said. I mean, it's something that I see time and time again. Sort of, maybe I'm around the arena in terms of being in the stands more than yourselves, kind of with geographical and club commitments on the night. And whenever I bring friends along who are maybe not hockey fans, they are drawn in by obviously the spectacle of the sport. But the thing that has made friends of mine come back is how evident and how obvious the community is, and I'm not going to use the hashtag hockey family line. It's kind of a played out cliche, but it's happening week in and week out. There are things that you see, like the spectacular work that Laura does, right down to things that you'll never even know. It's one of the most special things about our club, about other teams in the league. I think especially our club, but I guess I would be biased. And it's very fundamental in, as to why people fall in love with this club and dedicate so much time and so much effort to it. I can't speak more highly of Smallsy, and I mean it's all been said.
Simon,
I seen her today. She was coming out of the arena, hers looking really well. She won't say so, but I think it's looking really well. But look, again, she's just top notch. You know, the way she does everything for everybody else. She doesn't think about herself very often. She gives so much time to everybody else. And to be honest, once she hears our comments about her, I'm telling you now, she's going to be gurning her lumps out. Like, she's a big drip that way. but oh, she really is. She absolutely is. I mean, I was talking to her for half an hour on the phone earlier on, and then she asked me, was I going to watch Love Island? And I said, I'd rather watch my balls weigh a brick. But it's just, you know, she's like, I couldn't speak highly enough about her. She's just absolutely top notch.
Listen, I can't add anything more to what you all said. She's absolutely fab, and the work she does is second to none. And the joy that everybody gets from what she does, and the charity work that she does, and the look on these kids' faces, and it's just awesome. And one thing I will actually say, I want to add is to one of these young gentlemen, Mr. Ethan McLean, if he is listening, I just want to make sure, lad, that you are looking after that trophy. You know what I mean? I hope it's polished well. I hope you're looking after it, because we'll need it. I know you're going to work hard to try to retain it, but we'll need it back come September. And on that point, I think we're going to wrap up the show. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, really much appreciated, boys. It's not easy. You guys make it look like a doddle, but it's fantastic to have a chance. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad you put in the statistical work for coming on the show. So thank you very much.
At least somebody has.
Mr. Kitchen. Any big plans going forward over the summer?
As I said, Portugal in August.
Portugal in August, that's what it was.
I've got not much else. I'm disappointed I didn't book Vegas this year, but I'll look forward to August. That's the main thing with Wee Jazz, and she's apparently she's got something planned this weekend as well. So I sort of just do what I'm told, and she, you know, she tags along with me when I've got hockey games throughout the winter and heading into early spring. So. You know, it's whatever Jazz wants to do during the summer. She usually gets her own way, you know.
And rightly so. Mr. McGempsey, how's your next few weeks gearing up? Enjoying the Bristol sunshine?
Enjoying the Bristol sunshine, mate. Just starting to put a couple of miles into the legs now, you know, because I've obviously got the 2nd and 12th coming up, so I just have to be ready and ready to go with those. And
it may be the month of June, but it's certainly March for you.
It's March all the way in, mate, yes. I'd like to, you know, but I would like to, in all seriousness, I'd like to, brilliant having Joel on and refreshing to have another view, and obviously save me pulling out any stats tonight. Thanks, Joel.
You're welcome, Luke. It's all part of the service, boys. What can I say?
Sorry, go on.
No, I'm just saying, great to have him on board. He's a good lad.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And, you know, we rattled our way through as many topics as we could. There's still a hell of a lot to go through, but I'm sure we'll convene once or twice again before the season starts. So thanks to everybody for listening in. Good luck to Paul Swindlehurst. We look forward to seeing him as the season starts. Thanks to the Belfast Giants for allowing us to get on with that. And wherever you are over the summer, we're hoping you're enjoying yourselves, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Podcast Network.